he'd rather be in jail than to be tortured or to be murdered. So fear cannot motivate a person. Fear puts you in check. But if the reason Maral says that he goes into the army, he volunteers to go into the army because he loves his country. So in fact, the more he's tortured, the more he's hurt, the more he's threatened by the other country, the more love he'll develop for his country. It'll increase. And he will not reveal state secrets. So the only way to overcome a Yetzirah, especially Bizmanenu, is not through the Yira, which doesn't motivate, but it's really through Avos Hashem. But we need Yira Hashem, obviously, to keep us in check. So that combination of La'av and Yira is a great thing. But the question is, it's all good, but how do you develop Avos Hashem? Yeah, how do you develop it? And I think as follows. It's an interesting thing. I don't know if anyone knows anything about animals, but there's the Ari, the lion, is the melech, is the king of animal kingdom. And there's a namar, very strong animals. A bear is a little lazy, is on the lazy side. It's very strong also, but it's lazy, laid back. A bear, by the way, is very materialistic. In the Arba Malchias, in the four empires, so when they came to destruct Klal Yisrael, so the first empire that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash was Bavel. Second one that came to fight Klal Yisrael, they didn't destroy Klal Yisrael, and they didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash, but they didn't let the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt at its time. That was the Persians, right? Paros HaMadai. And then finally it was rebuilt, and the Avanim, the Greeks, contaminated the Metamidate, and then the Romans destroyed the third Beis HaMikdash. In the Nevuahs in Daniel, it compares each one to a different animal. So the Greeks were compared to a namar, a leopard, because it has azus. But the Paros HaMadai, the Persians, are compared to a bear, to a dove. And the Gemara in Kedushin, I think it's in the Ayins or the Peis, the Gemara in Kedushin says because they're Mesubalim Kedaiv. Yeah, they're ones who are always trying to consume. Basasagi is a lashon that's used in Daniel. They try to consume things. They're laid back. They eat, and they're very materialistic. And Persians are very materialistic people. And also, they're always in a turmoil, you know, not settled down. So what happens is, so that's the Persians, when in the destruction of Klal Yisrael. When it talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vengeance, it talks about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's angry. It's the pasuk in Hosea says, listen to this, Af Kishem, I will approach them, Kedaiv Shakol, like a bear that lords his cubs. I would say, if you want to talk about attacking and destroying, talk about a lion. You know, he's an innovator. As Maral says, a lion has the meat of nefesh, and that's above it, was compared to a lion. It moves, and it moves, it's strong, it's leadership. But why talk about like a dove? Why talk like a bear, of all things? It's pretty lazy. So the Radak asks the question. I don't know if anyone knows this. Oh, Shea, you're smiling. There's a Radak in Hosea that asks the question. It's an unbelievable Radak. The Radak says there's a difference from a bear that loses its cubs and a difference when a lion loses its cubs, its children. He says a bear will be much more fierceful. It's called, he has such more maris nefesh, so much more agony, and it attacks anything in its way, a human being or another animal, if it loses its children, loses its cubs. Unlike a lion. A lion also will attack, but not with the same power of a bear. Why is that? By the way, a bear, when it decides to attack, could run 35 miles an hour from that lazy, heavy bear that doesn't move, that hibernates. And when you talk about Bachar that hibernate, usually it talks about the bear. He's the bear, he's the bear. And he has to be a lion. It's interesting. Chazal talks about it in Shulchan Aruch beginning. The person has to be Mizgabe Kari. That's an attribute. There's a Chazal talks about you have to be an Oz Kenomar. You have to be on fire like a leopard. I don't remember any Chazal that says be like a bear. In fact, the Mashmah Chazals don't be like a bear in many areas. And over here, a bear is ability, as lazy as it is, and even though it hibernates, to run 35 miles an hour. And it's relentless in its attack. And Radak asks why. Radak doesn't say it's 35 miles an hour. That's just the... Radak says, why is that? Radak says an unbelievable thing. When a bear gives birth, unlike any other animal, unlike a human being. So there's a membrane on the embryo, on the child. What happens is, it's a very thick membrane. To the point that if you'd see it, if you look one day, you'll see it, let's take a picture of it, it looks like a piece, a slab of meat. And you don't see the shape, form of the cub inside. And as far as you knew, it was just a piece of garbage meat. What is it? Nothing. Worthless. A piece of fat. And that's when it gives birth. When a human being gives birth, there might be a very thin membrane to protect the embryo, but it's, you know, you wash it away. Other animals are also a thin membrane. You just wash it away or just pull it apart. Over here, it's thick, and if you were to see it, I saw a picture of it. If you were to see it, you would just say it's a worthless piece of meat and throw it out. But the mother bear recognizes that she just gave birth. It's not an excretion, it's a birth. So then, what do you do? So obviously you have to take off the membrane, the piece of the meat, the thick meat around it. But you have to also make sure that you don't hurt the child, the cub. So normally you just take your fingers and just start moving it, cutting it, you know, slicing it, surgery. Problem is, a bear doesn't have, first of all, utensils. Second of all, it has very thick fingers. And what's going to happen then, if the bear is going to break apart the piece of meat or the membrane around the animal, the cub, it might injure the cub, might cut into the cub, probably will, you know, might even tear off a limb. So now you're going to catch, what do? You can't let it stay in the piece, in the flesh, because it will die, it'll pass away. You're not throwing out because you have to reproduce. You have to reproduce. You can't tear it apart with the fingers because you're gonna hurt and maim the cub. What do you do? So what the bears do, the bears lick the membrane off, lick by lick, step by step, very tedious. Extremely hard, and it licks it, softens it, it licks it off, it moves it off sometimes with the finger, until it takes away the entire, this is a Radak, Hoshea, a Perek Yugimel. It takes the entire membrane away until you have the shape, the form, and the cub is able to escape and be independent and be on its own. That's what he says. And by the way, I don't know if you ever heard, there's a term in English that it's called lick him into shape. Not whip him into shape, that's the term I use. Lick him into shape. And they got that because bears lick the cub into his shape. That's what it does. So comes to Radak says, since the bear invests so much into the birth, and the creation of the child, of its cub, so if the cub is ever taken away or killed, it has more agmas nefesh, more pain, more agony than the lion has for its child, for its cub. And therefore, because of the agmas nefesh that it has, that pain, it's relentless. And it will express itself into any human being, even not the killer. It sees a human being, it will kill the human being. It will destroy the human being. It sees another animal, it will go and destroy it, even though that animal is not responsible for it. Because of the agmas nefesh. Unlike a lion. I'm sure it feels pain, but doesn't have to react in a crazy way. In an illogical way because of that. That's what a dog says. Unbelievable what the dog says. A dog says, Af kishen, that's the pasuk, kedov shakal, dafka, like a bear, the laziest of animals, becomes relentless because of the connection it has to its child. And if you ask me, therefore, which animal loves its cubs more than any other animal, it's obviously the bear. I mean, if you think about it. Why is that? So the Radak says, because it pained itself. It hurt himself. It gave it a lot of effort into the creation, the making of that child, the cub. You see from Radak, and you see from many other places, the more effort a person invests into something, the more connection the person will have to that thing. And if you think about it a little further, we're not talking about at this point, and that's what's very impressive about the bear. You know, at birth, there's zero connection between the mother and the child. Mother doesn't know the child, mother never saw the child, unlike a human child. It looks like a piece of meat. But the mother bear has the faith, the confidence in the future of that bear. And because of that, the mother bear invests in something that doesn't even recognize at the time. Invests in that in order for it to have a future. The word, by the way, for investment or nurturing something, that's called emuna. Now, sometimes people say emuna means to believe. You know, I believe in it, that's emuna. Or confidence. I have confidence in something. You know, that's emuna. You know, when your person has confidence in something but doesn't invest in it, that's not real emuna. That means I have a shadow of a doubt. If I know something's true, if I know something will happen, if I believe that firmly and I think it's good, of course I'll invest in that. Why shouldn't I? When you talk about nurturing, the Hebrew word for nurturing is emuna. That's a pasuk by Esther with Mordechai, that emuna, he nurtured her. He nurtured Esther. What is it nurturing? You have emuna. Mother feeds the baby. Mother takes care of the child. Because the mother has emuna. The mother, Aleph Mem, aim, is the root word of emuna. And that's really the mother's function. The mother sees a child, the mother says, I believe in the child. And therefore, first of all, I'll carry the child. I'll carry that child for those 9 months. I'll take the pains of birth. I will take the pains of Tzar Gidobonim because I believe in that child. I have a moon in that child, a moon in the future to nurture something. And the more the mother invests in the child, even before the mother knows the child, the more of a connection the mother's going to have to the child, and the more the mother will love the child. And it's true by human beings, people in themselves also. A person has belief in himself. He has confidence in himself. He knows he could do something. He believes it, he'll invest in himself. You know, I've been a Rebbe for many years, and the one thing I've watched by Talmidim, by Balabatim, I deal with a lot of Balabatim, day in and day out, and I'm across the world, and I see the people who are successful and people who are not. The one ingredient of the people who are successful and the ingredient of the people who are not successful is two sides to one coin. people who have self-confidence. And I'm not talking about full self-esteem. How do you know when a person has self-confidence? When he invests in himself. He feels he's worth it and he thinks he can do it. So he invests. If a person doesn't invest in himself, he's making a statement. I'm not making a statement. He's making a statement. He's saying, I don't have the confidence in my future. In this area, at least. I'm not confident. And therefore, I don't invest. He's going to tell me I'm lazy? Be like a bear. Be lazy like a bear. But the bear has confidence in that child. And puts a lot of effort into the child. And develops love of the child. For the child. So be like a bear. Be lazy, confident, and work very hard. In the things that you have confidence to. So what does a Rebbe have to do? And what do Rebbeim all do? They try to develop, help the child, the Talmid, develop their self-confidence that they could do it. The minute a Talmid, a child, or anybody in any business, believes in himself that he can't do it, all our jobs, we can retire. You know, everyone can take over from there and become a tzionim. In any year, I'm not talking just in learning. It can be in learning, it can be in Torah, Avodah, it can be in business, it can be in any other area. You know, people dream, they develop a self-confidence in one area, even when they make times that they shouldn't. But Kol Shekein in Torah, which is Torah Tziva Lanu Marasha Kilis Yaakov, yeah, of course a person should have the confidence in his learning. But what happens further more than that, and you think about it, in anything, there are times, Mr. Tukoski, you thought there's things you couldn't do, and you found that later you could do. And then suddenly, because you found you could do it, you like it. And what happened? You didn't like it, you changed your liking? There are things in your life, I'm picking Mr. Tukoski only because I know him. But there are things in your life, you can say 5 years ago, and I knew him 5 years ago also, 5 years ago, you can say there's certain things in life 5 years ago that you would say, I don't like, I'm not interested. And today, he can say about the same things, I'm interested and I love it. What happened? What changed? You know what's happened? He got a little success, a taste of success. He has confidence in himself, and suddenly he likes it. He had confidence in himself, he put effort into it, and the more effort he put into it, the more he likes it. People would start to think, the less effort I put into something, the easier it is, the more I like it, the more effort, the less I like it. It's the exact opposite. The lion doesn't put effort into the embryo, into the child. You know, the relationship's not so strong. The bear puts a lot of effort into the child. The relationship is extremely strong. And the liking is extremely strong. Avis HaTorah is a product of hard work. Nobody was born with Avis HaTorah. Avis Hashem is a product of hard work. I don't know anyone that was born with Avis Hashem. But a person has to be willing to work hard in order to gain it. And the only way to work hard is to have that confidence in those areas. And you think about it. What you have to do is sometimes taste a little success in someplace. And think about it and say, I'll invest in that. And when a person doesn't invest in himself, you have to ask the question, why should somebody else invest in me if I won't do it for myself? And a person says it's hard, that's great. The harder it is, the better it is. I got to share with you an unbelievable Trumas Hadeshen. And I think you all appreciate it. We talk about Amelis Patayr, we talk about overcoming hardships. And now, the harder it is, I'm telling you, the better it is. So, you get, first of all, you should know that a person gets schar for all his Amelis, for all the effort put in. Not only does he get schar ba'olam haba, he gets a schar ba'olam hazeh. And the efforts you put in help you retain your learning. It helps you gain in your learning. there's a certain siyata d'shmaya for the effort you put in, not for just the effort you put in while reading Gemara, learning Gemara, but for the effort you put in to going to learn. There's overcoming obstacles, getting up, going someplace, you know, being in Eretz Yisrael to learn. All exterior obstacles give you, and you overcome it, and you put effort to overcome it, gives you siyata d'shmaya. How do I know that? Because I was always taught when I was younger, Amelis B'Torah was in the base of Medrash. You're sitting and learning and toiling and exerting effort and pain. Then, of course, you'll get some schar. I never learned, first of all, that it helped me in my learning necessarily. Siyata d'shmaya, I mean, obviously, it helps me in my learning because I'm putting the effort in. But I get an extra dose of siyata d'shmaya, and I surely never learned that getting to yeshiva, walking there, exerting effort to get there, or getting up out of bed, that's a sechar of limud haTorah. I never learned that. I never was brought up that way. But it's Mefurash Gemara. The Gemara says in Menachos that Avimi, so Avimi started to lack in his retention. In other words, he started to forget a little bit of Meseches Menachos. So what did he do? So he went to Rav Chisda, who was a Talmud. He went to Rav Chisda for a Chazorah Shir in Menachos. So the Gemara asked the question. So Rav Chisda should have, Avimi should have asked Rav Chisda, invite him to come to see him. The Talmud send the goes to the Rebbe, right, to learn, and not the Rebbe go to the Talmud to learn, right? So if that's the case, why did Avimi go to the Talmud to Rav Chisda to learn? He should have called Rav Chisda to teach it to him. So the Gemara says, Savar, he thought, Devahachi, in this way, is Mistayeya Milso. In this way, he'll have a more Siyata Deshmaya. It'll help him more. Why will it help him? What's the difference? What's the difference if I go to you, you come to me? What's the difference? We're sitting together learning it. That's where the Amelis is. So a person might say, well, maybe because he humbled himself, he went to the Talmud, you know, he became a Talmud. Maybe that gave the Siyata Deshmaya. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, the Gemara Megillah, that Yagati Umatzasi. That's the Lashon of Rashi. He says he had Yigiyah, and therefore he found it and he was able to retain it. He acquired it. And I'm thinking to myself, Yigiyah in what? In going there? The Gemara doesn't talk about his Yigiyah in the learning it. He talks about it. He wanted to have all the Siyata, all the help in Shemaya, from Shemayim, the extra measure of help in retaining his learning. So Rashi says so, therefore he went. His Yigiyah. You see from Rashi, unbelievable Chiddush, that Yigiyah's HaTorah doesn't begin when you're sitting in the base of measure. Yigiyah's HaTorah doesn't begin when you're sitting with your Chavruso or sitting in the Shir paying attention. It begins the minute you wake up, or maybe when you go to sleep, or before you wake up. The struggle of waking up, the struggle of coming, if you struggle at that, that's great. Those who have it easy are not as so good. Those who have it hard and push themselves to overcome the hardship, they get not schar and olam haba. They get a certain help, assistance in their learning b'olam hazeh, that you'll attain it, you'll know it better. It's a chiddush in yigiyah. But it makes sense, because what that's yigiyah, I'm pushing myself to develop a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that creates a certain avos Hashem. I want to share with you an unbelievable Trumas HaDeshen. Trumas HaDeshen is a person who lived on the biggest Paiskim about 600 years ago, 500 some odd years ago. He had a yeshiva. And in his yeshiva, his Talmud writes this, the Leket Yosha. In his yeshiva, he had some people who were quite wealthy and spoiled. Well, we all have that in some of our yeshivas. Spoiled Talmidim. But they liked learning. And they were good in learning. And Masmidim, and they, you know, they didn't want to put in certain efforts in certain areas. They didn't want to waste time. So what did they do? They created a table that had wheels on it, and you were able to move the table around. Therefore, when they were sitting at their table, and they needed a sefer, instead of picking themselves up to go to the back to get a sefer, every sefer was right on hand. It's an amazing thing. You sit there, just move the table, and the sefer's right here. They saved time, they saved effort, and they can sit back and learn. Yeah, it's the old day. It's the old age computer, the laptop. Instead of having the 5,000 svarim on the disk right in front of you, so they had it around them on the table. So you have those who were from the old age that saw the old computers. You know, it wasn't a laptop; it was a big, you know, big piece of. It was a big machine. So you'll see that was true then also, but it was just larger, the 5,000 svarim. So the Truma Sadeshin did not like that, did not appreciate it, and he didn't allow it. And he said, because he said they will not retain the learning that they got from those svarim at the time. Why? Because they didn't toil. They weren't miyageya. And you start to think, 1 minute, if anything to do with miyageya more in the learning, they were able to focus more on the learning, they have to get up. He says, no. I mean, he didn't say because they're lazy, it's the meat of lazy. He says because they were miyageya, they didn't toil in getting the sefer. When you toil to get the sefer, you retain the information much more than when you don't have to toil to get the sefer. That's also called Yegiyas HaTorah. And his Talmud, the Leket Yosher, writes that he has a remez to this, a smach to this, from the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya. The Hilchos Talmud Torah must be Reish Mems. So over there it says that a person should not learn Me'idah HaNefesh. You know, with a pleasure, chilled out, relaxed, laid back. That's not Yegiyas HaTorah. So even getting the Sefer. You know, it's an interesting thing. I mean, I can see what's going through Eric Gross's mind. There's a letter in the Utsav HaFarshei HaTalmud that when the Utsav HaFarshei HaTalmud came out, so there was a whole to-do is that it was the first time, a likud of Sifrin Svarim on any given Masechta, and is that considered a lack of Yegiyas HaTorah? Rav Huttner said, it's not, because it lets a person be miyageya in the learning itself instead of going to find the Svarim. So it sounds like opposed the Truma Sadeshin, but I think not. I'm from Chaim Blin, so it's not opposing the Truma Sadeshin, and I think it's a little different over there. Over there, he was talking about finding which sefer it's in. He wasn't supposed to use the Utsav HaFarshei HaTalmud to learn, to use it as a tool of learning to replace svarim. It's just easier to find svarim, which there's no way you'll be able to find where those who talks about which achron, which rishon talks about that lo al asar, not on the place, in the proper place on the blot. So it enabled a person to be agay in the things that gives them a toelis, that gives them a benefit. So it's not exactly the same case of the Truma Sadeshin, even though it's a little close. But it's not exactly the same thing as the Truma Sadeshin. But again, what you do see from here, Yegiyah, and it's good for all Bachim to always know this, your success is not only in the Beis HaMedrash. Your success is in getting to the Beis HaMedrash. A person, from experience, I know this all the time, a person that was what you call Meiser Nefesh to learn in the yeshiva. Yeah, he gave up a job. Yeah, he gave up other things in America. He was able to stay another year. Yeah, he had to put a fight to stay another year. So that's called a miyageya. That's a yegiya in Torah, not as introduction to Torah. That's part of limud haTorah. The fight at home to learn the yeshiva is part of limud haTorah. And when you do that, you get schar, you get a siyata d'shmaya in your learning. And even it makes no difference what level of learning you're holding at it. You're holding at a high level in Shamayim at that point. Of course, you want to increase it in the not just the Kamis, but in the Eichus in its depth, and also in the Kamis, of course, in its time. But to try to reach your potential. There's a Gemara that says that the Gemara in Saita, the Gemara talks about if you have a Beis HaKnesses that's in your town, if you have a Beis HaKnesses which is out of the town, if a person goes to a Beis HaKnesses which is out of the town to daven, he gets schar psius. The Gemara in the Chav Beis and Saita, the Gemara says that there was an almana, there was a widow that was in the town next to Rabbi Yochanan, and she used to go to Rabbi Yochanan's shul to daven. And Rabbi Yochanan asked her, "Isn't there a Beis HaKnesses in your shchuna? Why are you coming to my Beis HaKnesses?" A little different than the Rabbanim today in America. They're always asking people, "Why aren't you coming to my shul?" You know, here he asked her, "Why are you coming to my shul? Why don't you go to the shul a little closer?" Okay, if I would have been her, possibly I would have said, "Because you were Rabbi Yochanan." She didn't say that either. She didn't say, "Because I want to daven with you, Rabbi Yochanan." She says, "Because you're further away, and I get a schar psius. I get the schar for walking there, for the struggle." It's an amazing thing. Yeah, and it sounds like it's not a schar stam, because on all other mitzvahs there's no schar psius. If I walk a little longer to get a lulav, or to take a lulav. There's no chazal that I know of that is schar psius. In fact, there's a ritva in sukkah, I think, that says if you're going further for a sukkah, there's no schar psius, I think he says. Shulah discusses the shaila. Maral says the only time you have schar psius is, and he writes this in the Siv Aveda, the only time you have schar psius for the walking, for the struggle, is in a case when it's kirvas elokim, like a beis haknesses to daven. And that's part of the tefillah. Where does tefillah begin? Tefillah begins walking to shul. Tefillah does not begin in shul. And he gets a schar for that. So she wanted the full gamut of the schar for tefillah. So she struggled. She walked further. And I know many Americans are the exact opposite. You know, the closer the shtibel on the block, you know, their shul. If you ask a person, yeah, try this when you're back. Ask a person, try to meet a friend there to yourself, "Where do you daven? What's your shul?" So they'll say shule. Call it that if you're flappish. All right, we'll take a person in Lakewood. So if we take a Lakewood, he'll say Rabbi Cohen's shul. Okay. So what's your shul? Rabbi Cohen. Okay. Where do you daven during the week? Oh, during the week I daven someplace else in the shtibel. Friday night? Oh, Friday night daven by the shtibel, by, you know, the shul down the block. What about Shalosh Shudim? What about Mincha Mariv, Motzei Shabbos? Oh, by the shul on the block, where you have the minyan on the block, where everyone gets together. So when do you daven in your shul? Shabbos by day, when I'm in town. And I start to think, that means there are three tefillahs every day, and not once does he daven in a shul all week long, except for one tefillah. He describes himself, you know, on a shul, of what he davens on Shabbos. And why does he go during the week there? Because it's not convenient. But does convenience play a role in where you daven? It should be where you want to daven because it's the better of davening, or it should be because it's a little further. In other words, it doesn't have to be that struggle, it'll be different struggles. The schar psius, the harder it is, the more schar, the more you're davening. It's not an outside schar, it's an internal schar. The more you're davening. In fact, I think, I'm not sure, I don't have a right, I never saw this, it's a svar of mine, and I'm not sure I'm right. If I were to ask anyone who didn't learn brachas, where does davening begin? Where does Shemar Esrei begin? They would say Baruch Ata Hashem. If I ask a person who learned Gemara brachas, where does davening begin? He would say Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. Gemara says a person is supposed to be Samech Gula L'Tfila. You're not supposed to have a hefsek between Gal Yisrael and the Shemana Esrei. If a person is Samech Gula L'Tfila, he's a Ben Olam Abba. That's the Gemara brachas, I think, Davdalam Abbas. So he's a Ben Olam Abba. So the Gemara asks, what about Hashem Sfasai Tiftach? That's why you don't answer Amen after Gal Yisrael. What about Hashem Svasai Tiftach? So Gemara says that's called Tfila Arichta. So you see, it's a longer Tfila, it's part of the Shemona Esrei. It could have started by Baruch Ata Hashem, but we call it, we prolong it, we make it longer, we start earlier, Hashem Svasai Tiftach. If you look in the Peskim, when it says you're not supposed to have a hefsek between Geula and Tfila, it means not just by saying something else, even a hefsek in Zman. You're not supposed to have any type of separation, both by words or in time. I mean, why? Slichus gula tefila, God Yisrael, Hashem sva saitivka. And that's the person who's a ben olam haba. It shows no doubt. In other words, you have full confidence in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Yonah. So I was thinking to myself, what about the three steps forward? The three steps backwards you take before God Yisrael. When do you take the three steps forward? When you say in Gal Yisrael, or after Gal Yisrael? The way to find out what you do is next time you daven Shemoneh Esrei, think what the body does for you. That's usually what most people do. But what you're common, what you're regular to. In Shulchan Aruch, I don't remember. It's a thought of mine, so I didn't really check it out. I don't remember it saying Mefurish. If I remember correctly, in Aruch HaShulchan says after the Gal Yisrael. After Gal Yisrael, you take the three steps forward. It's a hefsek. It's a hefsek in Zaman. What is this going on over here? Mukhruch. That it's part of the Shemoneh Esrei. The Shemoneh Esrei doesn't begin by Hashem Sva Saitim. Why the Gemara doesn't answer the question? Because the Gemara never talks about three psiyas forward. The Gemara talks about always the three psiyas backwards after the Shemoneh Esrei. I don't remember Gemara talking about three steps forward. I don't remember. I mean, just because I don't remember doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But I don't remember it. But where does Shemoneh Esrei begin? It begins by the three steps forward. That's the schar psiyas. Why do you take the three steps forward? The Rokach says to break the mechitzas, to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's your three steps forward. That's part of the Shemoneh Esrei. The struggle is the Shemoneh Esrei, not just the words. So where does davening begin? Davening begins, you can start thinking, davening begins when you get out of bed to start davening. And there's no hefsek, obviously. And you start moving. That's the schar you get for the davening. And sometimes the harder it is, the greater the struggle, the better off a person is. It's not always good when it comes easy. And not only that, you see, Avimi created a struggle. That's the other chiddush you see in the Gemara. Yeah, of course it's Yigiyah, when he had to go to his Talmud. But you should, what are you? You say, Al Tivani Lo Dei Nitzon, you're not supposed to put upon yourself trials and tribulations. You're supposed to put yourself struggles? To make it, if I could do it with less effort, I could do it with more effort, I should pick deliberately more effort? Avimi did. The Truma Sadeshin said to. Yeah. We have enough struggles that we don't have to add on more struggles to our lives. But we should be happy when they have the struggle, have the confidence that you can overcome the struggle. And if you keep on working on that, both in your learning, your gear during the learning and before the learning, and during the davening and before the davening, you'll have a tremendous amount of siyata d'shmaya in your learning and in your davening.
Hit stop.